Hello, everybody. Welcome to The United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Loads to get into this morning. Two goalkeepers heading out of Manchester United, but at what cost? Some think it's good, some are ridiculing it. Also, Lewis Hall price has been set. It's huge. We'll delve into that. Also, Alex Scott, a little bit about him as well. Marcus Rashford. We're also going to be talking about Ineos owning up to their mistakes and how they've missed on every major target they've gone for in the last 12 months. And a few other bits I want to talk about as well. Also, I suppose if you pose the question, if you're in that opinion of if Man United are not going to get Lewis Hall and they're not going to get Tchouaméni and they're not going to get Watkins, where are they going in these last few weeks of the window? And are there any excuses left? Also, Kone, a little bit about him as well and whatever else you want to talk about. But look, I think the first place to start this morning is not with Bienda to Celta Vigo. It's not with Vitek to Middlesbrough. It's not even with Xerxes to Juventus because we've got updates on all of those. But it's Lewis Hall. I think that with Bruno Guimarães finally signing for Newcastle, it's just another Ajax all over again, isn't it? And as CR4 says, you ain't getting Hall. Well, you're talking to somebody that said we won't get Lewis Hall. So you and me, brother, are in the same group. We're in the same gang. Lewis Hall to Manchester United is a story that keeps regurgitating. And I mean, Bruno Guimarães has gone to Arsenal for £75 million today. And there was a very interesting piece about from Keith Downey, who works for Sky Sports, saying Newcastle didn't want to sell Bruno Guimarães and were desperate to keep him. And they would have refused any offer from Arsenal or any other club if Bruno had said he wanted to stay. So you could say, well, if Lewis Hall wants to go, they'll sell. They tried to persuade him. The deal could only happen if two things happened. Bruno said he wanted to leave and Newcastle sold on their terms. Newcastle insisted 75 million is their valuation or no deal. They would only deal at a fee which would become one of the highest ever paid in the world for a 28-year-old. In addition, a deal would only be sanctioned if the situation was handled properly, e.g. Bruno Guimarães attending the training camp. Newcastle feel Bruno has complied with their demands immaculately and they did not want a repeat of the Isak situation. So basically, the Bruno Guimarães deal gives a huge, huge, huge hint as to what Manchester United would need to do to sign Lewis Hall. And I think you make your own minds up. You tell me, is Lewis Hall realistically going to be signing for Manchester United? When we look at that Bruno Guimarães deal, they would only sell for a record fee for a 28-year-old, £75 million. They would only sell if Bruno Guimarães was adamant that he wanted to leave. And they would only sell if everybody involved did what Newcastle wanted to do. This doesn't sound like the way Man United like to do deals. Man United like deals where the player forces the move and basically turns his back on the club and forces the price down. And Bermo didn't really do that, to be fair, because we still paid 65 million. I think also with Bruno Guimarães going for £75 million, we have a huge indicator of how Newcastle have dealt with that. I personally think that Bruno Guimarães is... What are your thoughts? I've seen some people saying that's very expensive for Bruno Guimarães. I think that's Glazernomics. I think if you think Bruno Guimarães is expensive at £75 million or Alex Scott's expensive at 80 or Lewis Hall is expensive at 75 or Morgan Rogers is expensive at 116 or Tonali is expensive at 90 or Mateus Fernandez is expensive at 85. Do you know what I'm doing? They're not expensive. That's the price. They're just not expensive. And you can. I didn't even mention Elliot Anderson. These prices are the prices. They're not expensive. You might not want to pay those prices, but that's the price. You pay or you fall away. It's as simple as that. I don't know what we're arguing about here. I don't know why we've got Man United fans wetting the bed over, well, we shouldn't pay these prices. We shouldn't pay these prices. Well, that's the price. That is the price. When the PS6 comes out or GTA 6 comes out and the price is that, you can sit there going, I'm not paying that. I'm not paying that. And then I'll be playing GTA 6. And so will G-Man. And so will Luke. And so will Galaxy. But you'll be sat there going, I'm not paying it. And we'll be playing it. It's the oldest lesson in the world. What are people talking about over price? What are people talking about? It's too expensive. Well, don't fucking buy it then. But you won't be playing the game. The price is the price. I find it incredible, absolutely incredible, that we're in a situation where people are applauding our board's approach to this transfer window, saying, well, we shouldn't pay those prices. And player after player after player after player after player after player is going elsewhere, and we're not getting them. So the price is the price. There is no overpay. Look, going into the summer, I'll agree, Bruno Guimarães, to me, £60 million for a 28-year-old. Matheus Fernandes, for me, £60 million. He's, you know, he's a West Ham player. Elliot Anderson, £100 million. Morgan Rogers, £90 million. You know, Lewis Hall, £55 million. I agree. That's my valuation in May. But my valuation now is, well, Bruno Guimarães is 75. Lewis Hall is going to be 75. Morgan Rogers was 116. I don't set the price. The market sets the price. Sometimes a house is available for 300 grand, but the market is flooded with new buyers, so the price goes for 400 grand. It's basic economics. I can't believe that the club don't get that and some of our fans don't get that. So Bruno Guimarães isn't overpriced. Arsenal are comfortable paying that. Arsenal, I mean, basically, what's happened to Arsenal is, and this should happen at United, is they've probably wanted to pay 60 million for Bruno Guimarães. And Bruno Guimarães has said, I want to go to Arsenal. And Newcastle have said, you can go to Arsenal and you can have Bruno Guimarães, but the price is 75 or you don't get him. And Arsenal can either go, we really, really want him, but we're not paying 15 million extra. Or they can go, we really, really want him, we'll pay 15 million extra to make sure we get the deal done. And they've paid the 15 million extra. United's approach has been, we want Tonali, we want Elliot Anderson, we want Matheus Fernandes, we want Lewis Hall, we want Semenyu, we want Diamande, but we're not going to pay an extra 15, 20 million to get them. We won't do it. Well, who's the winner there? Arsenal could have done that. They could have said, we're not paying an extra 15 million, but they did. I'm not saying who's right or wrong, but the price is the price. So if we want to sign Lewis Hall, we're going to have to pay. Well, you tell me. I think the price for Lewis Hall now is £75 million. I think when you read between the lines, Newcastle set a price. They don't want to sell, but the player said he wanted to go. So they said, you can go, but the price is this. And we will only do it if they pay that price. So probably quite similar to Belabor a year ago. You can go, but the price is this. And if they don't pay it, we're not selling a player we don't want to sell cheap. So the price has been set. It reminds me massively of Ajax and Antony, where we waited till the end of the window. Ajax had sold loads of players and basically said, we don't want to sell, but if we do, we want this amount of money. So I would say the price for Lewis Hall has just gone up by £5 million overnight. I thought it was 70. I'd say it's 75 now, because what they're going to do, what Newcastle are going to do, is they're going to say, he's younger than Bruno Guimarães. It's the end of the window. We don't want to sell. We don't need to sell. And he's also English, which comes at a premium. So the price is 75. I think that's the end of that deal. I think our only hope of getting that deal done is if Newcastle have a bout of empathy and say, you can have him for 60. I just don't think that deal gets done now. And unfortunately, we'll have to wait a little bit. But if it doesn't get done, guess what? You've wasted a week glowing up a deal that never looked like it was going to happen in the first place. And how many times has that happened this summer? So I think I would say that Lewis Hall deal has just gone to 75 million and has become impossible. And to be fair, every journalist has said Man United like Lewis Hall, but it's unlikely. And the reason they've used the word unlikely is because it's unlikely, isn't it? And ultimately, when you break it down, United have got to pay a huge price to get players. There's no shortcuts. There's no secret code. There's no cheat code. If you want good players, you have to pay good prices. Everybody's rich in the Premier League. Spurs finished fourth from bottom. They're spending 300 million quid. Everton don't need to sell players unless you give them massive fees. They asked for 70 million for Branthwaite 3 years ago. They want 70 million for Ndiaye. People don't sell cheap. Explain this one to me. If you want Premier League proven players, which is something we were gloating about all year after getting Cunha and Mbeumo, you've got to pay. How is this going to work out, people? How is this going to work out in the future? At what point are United going to realise that you do need to pay big prices for big players? occasionally you will get a Tielemans for 35 million because of a release clause, or you'll get a Chelsea bench player. But £50 million for a bench player is not cheap, by the way. I mean, I know Santos looks good, and I don't really like calling him a bench player, but if he'd been starting in the Chelsea midfield, double it. The price we paid for Santos was still quite expensive. It's just within United's parameters. He's not a Chelsea starter. They took us for 50 million quid. Now, hopefully, we're going to get a bargain there because he should have been a Chelsea starter. But if he had been a Chelsea starter, you'd double the money. Tielemans could be the signing of the summer because of a release clause, which we're very lucky that we knew about. Like, Tielemans would be double that if he didn't have a release clause. So what I'm trying to say is, if it wasn't for the fact that Santos was on the bench and Tielemans didn't have a release clause, we wouldn't have got those deals done anyway. So you have to pay a huge price. If you want Alex Scott, if you want Lewis Hall, if you want Mateus Fernandez, if you want Tonali, if you want Morgan Rogers, all players United apparently wanted or want, you have to pay a big price. And look, one summer, if it's not sunny and it rains all summer, there's always next summer, isn't there? But if we're not going to change this mentality, where are we heading if we're not going to pay big prices for players? Because that's the market. And as I said, you can applaud the club or agree with the club that they shouldn't pay big prices anymore. And I have seen people I respect say that. But my answer is, if we're not going to pay big prices anymore, what's going to happen? It's not, if it's only for one summer, fine, maybe we'll turn it around next year. But if this is forever, how is this ever going to work when everybody else is buying all the good players? Good players cost big money now. If you're not going to spend big money, and apparently we're not, when are we going to get good players in? This looks very, very difficult to me. But look, in relation to Lewis Hall, I think you're going to have to add him to the list. £75 million, we won't pay that for a left back. We won't pay that for a left back. We just won't. I mean, I can sit there in total and utter, conviction and say, we're not going to pay that. We're not going to pay that. And unfortunately, and I am stealing this, when you look at the last 12 months, and I'm talking 12 months from middle of August to middle of August, forgetting Sesko, Cunha and Mbeumo because they were outside the last 12 months. In the last 12 months, Ineos have missed on every major target that they've gone for. Belaba, miss. Semenyu, miss. Diamande, miss. Elliot Anderson, miss. Mateus Fernandez, miss. Tonali, miss. Tchouaméni, miss. Lewis Hall, I would add in as a miss. I'm sure there's others. Alex Scott's going to be a miss. So we're missing out on a lot, aren't we? We're missing out on a lot. And I would pose that question again, and I've just seen someone in the live chat say it. If we're not getting Lewis Hall, and we're not getting Ollie Watkins, and we're not getting Alex Scott, and we're not getting Tchouaméni, what are we actually doing in the next few weeks? I'm sure we're going to get a shock. I'm sure we're going to get a left foot. I mean, look, people keep mentioning Stiller. I bloody love Stiller. But it's going to be very interesting, isn't it? What was the Kone news? Well, look, the Kone news is sort of ongoing. I actually had quite a bit of big news on Vinicius Jr. this morning on That's Football. Apparently, he's like higher than 50% chance of going to Arsenal this morning. So, fucking hell. I mean, that's football, but that's a kick in the nuts, isn't it? I mean, Vinicius Jr. going to Arsenal. I mean, if you'd said to me 5 years ago, Arsenal would be winning Premier Leagues and signing people like Vinicius Jr., I would have said, what are you smoking? That just shows you how, and this is why when people say to me, can Man United win the league in the next 10 years? I never say absolutely not. Because look at what Arsenal have gone. They've gone from a laughingstock with Robbie and his microphones and people screaming Wenger out. They've gone from an absolute joke of a football club into one of the best teams in the world in the space of about 5-6 years. So you can do it. You can definitely do it. Arsenal are the blueprint that you can do it. But we're not behaving anything like Arsenal. That's the problem. Arsenal removed the deadwood relentlessly, Aubameyang's, Ozil's, and then they consistently signed players every summer to build a squad. And they didn't look at the price tag. They went and got what the manager wanted. So we could be winning the league in 5 years, but only if we show the behavioural types. And One of those behavioural types is backing your manager. I heard somebody say today, Man United aren't backing the manager, they're sacking the manager. Well, that's a very profound and major statement, but it does feel like at the moment that if you had to make a choice between are they backing or sacking Carrick, I would say at the moment they're sacking Carrick. In fact, let's run a poll on that. I quite like that. Carrick is... Can't spell. I am live this morning. I don't know why people think I'm not live. I was meant to be live in the garden. It went wrong again. I'm never going to try again. There we go. Is Carrick being backed or sacked? Shornick says, season is starting in 17 days. It's high time we got those remaining signings. Didn't we get 100 million from the Champions League qualification? I said it to you yesterday, and I'll repeat it again, because the Glazer bedwetters will not answer this question. You know, they'll go in with their negativity because, you know, they'll back the Glazers, whatever. But I actually put a post out this morning on X saying, I guarantee you next week, the client journalists of Manchester United will blame Amorim for removing Rashford and say the club always wanted to keep him. The PR will start next week. And, you know, in the replies, people were saying, well, that's true. It was Amorim who forced Rashford out. And I'm like, God, this isn't even history. This is recent. It actually came out that Ineos wanted to remove all the big wages straight away, including Rashford. Like, the board want Rashford out even today. And you've still got fans who have been brainwashed that it was Amorim that forced him out. It was the club. The club wanted the wage gone. But this is what, it's exactly what I mean about spin. Next week, because we're playing AC Milan, it'll all be about Amorim versus Rashford, and Amorim wanted Rashford out, and Rashford proving Amorim wrong. I wouldn't be surprised if we've set that game up on purpose so Rashford can score a couple of goals, and then it's like, oh, the club never wanted him, you know? The club that always wanted him. Sky Sports have already started that, Mark, says Dave. Mate, I can read this club like a book, and it's not a very good book. You know, it's not. It's like Spot the Dog. Spot the PR, I call it. Like, they will literally pin this all on Amorim to bring Rashford back. Rashford himself knows it wasn't fucking Amorim who forced him out of the club, it was the board. So, you know, you can believe what you want to believe. Ultimately, believe what you want to believe. But look, I didn't finish the story about Kone. So, with Kone, United did hold talks 3 weeks ago. We've never started talks with Roma as of now. Maybe we will this afternoon or tomorrow or next week. You never say never. But we held talks with the player, and then we never went to Roma. He is in talks with a Premier League club at the moment. And it's not Liverpool, and it's not Chelsea, and it's not Newcastle. So I don't know who it is. I've just been told who it's not. So, I mean, look, Christian says he thinks it's Chelsea. It could be Aston Villa. I'd be surprised if it was Tottenham. Imagine if it was Man City. But, so apparently he's in talks with another Premier League club. But I can only give you what I get told. And ultimately, what Man United are doing, I don't think anybody knows, really. I don't really know. If he went to Villa, they'd be a very good side. Kone, Kamara, McGinn, João Gomez. Anana's obviously just got injured. That wouldn't be a bad idea. Imagine if it's Arsenal. Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see. Look, United win that race if they enter the race. If they speak to Roma, they win the race. They've spoken to the player, but we're snoozing and we might lose, you know? Let me just talk to you about a couple of outgoings, because I suppose this is, you know, it's a news show. Thank you for everybody who's tuning in this morning. So some interesting stuff going on this morning. And again, a little bit of argument going on the internet, because some people are saying that United have done some really good business here. So Vitek is going to go to Middlesbrough for £6 million, but it can go up to 14 if a load of bonuses are hit. So he's going for six, but it could rise to 14. So some people are saying this is a really good deal. I don't think it's horrific. I don't think it's a good deal. I think if Man City had loaned Vitek to Bristol and he'd won every award he can at Bristol, including Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year and everything else, I think they'd be getting at least 20. And that's proven by the fact that Brighton have just sold Rushworth for £22 million to Coventry and he's never played for Brighton. So I don't think Vitek is a good deal, actually. I think it's another example of United's inability to sell well. I'm not saying they've sold badly, but they haven't sold well either. I mean, £6 million up front and the rest of it is in bonuses still only takes it to 14 and he's still got to hit a load of bonuses. Whereas Brighton have just cleared 20 for a goalkeeper that played in the Championship last year as well. So it's not a good deal. It's not a good deal. It's another example of United's inability to sell well. And then Bielsa is going to sell to Vigo for €4 million. We bought him for five, 3 years ago, and he's still only 28. So, again, it's just every deal United do is never very good. And remember, this market is inflated as well. This is an inflated market. Everybody's going for 10 to 15 million pounds more. Now, obviously, you're not going to get 10 to 15 million pounds more for a player that's going for 14 million. There is context. But, you know, I'd say people who are going for 15 million are actually going for 20 at the moment. You know, people who are 50 million are probably going for 60 million. And people who are 70 million are going for 80, 85. So everybody's going in at an inflated market and we're still selling lower. It's strange. It's strange how Man City are going to sell Reinders for profit after a year when he didn't do very well. So I think they bought him for 45 million. He's going to go to Forest for 55. So Man City can sell flops at profit, but United can't sell players who've had amazing seasons for a decent price. Vitek had an amazing season at Bristol, and he's going for 6 million plus potential bonuses. It's not a very good deal. Bielsa, I mean, we only paid five for him. He's going for four. You know, it's... maybe that's a good value. Maybe it's not a good value. But then you add in Xerxes. Juventus want Xerxes, but it's a loan deal. So we buy players and they go for less. We buy Xerxes for £35 million and he's going on loan. It doesn't get the focus it should. But we are, well, many people would say we're not very good at buying players, and maybe that's a fair point based on this summer transfer window. But we're absolutely horrific at selling. Absolutely horrific. I would say that Ugarte's injury, as much as it's horrible for him, it's probably saved Man United embarrassment because they were never going to sell him anyway. What were United going to do with Ugarte? Pay half his wages and loan him to Turkey? It was never going to happen. So look, I suppose some money's coming in, but we're not very good at selling. Factually, we're just not very good at selling. Sorry, I just got sent something there and I thought it was something to do with the signing. Shawnick says, Andy Mitten has said that every previous manager had issues with Rashford. He would not have said it if Ineos had any intention of keeping him. Look, Shawnick, I want to sort of give you comments of the day because I would not have mentioned that and you're absolutely spot on. The difficulty Man United have got in bringing Rashford in is that even the most loyal Red, like Andy Mitten, wrote that article saying every previous manager had issues with Rashford. You can't bury that. I'd forgotten about it, but you can't bury it. And a lot of people will talk about stuff like that. There is stuff that came out when Rashford left that came from the club. And look, I want to make this very, very clear because some people won't agree with me on this one. I don't have an issue with Marcus Rashford. I don't. I think that he was very honest when he said he wanted a new challenge. He went to Aston Villa. He did very, very well. He went to Barcelona. He did very well. And unfortunately, because he's on a ridiculous wage, no one wants to buy him. If he was on 150 grand a week, there'd be a massive queue. He could probably go loads of places. His wage makes him very unattractive. He's trapped, basically, in a situation. But the problem with United, I don't have a problem with Rashford for those reasons I've just said there. He's got no choice but to come back. Anyone who's got a problem with him because they don't rate him or whatever like that, or they don't like, you know, what he was like at United, that's fair enough. But you can't blame him for coming back when there's nowhere else to go. But you can blame Man United.
I think they've mishandled this situation horrifically, because they gloated when they got rid of him, and now they've got to play a PR game to bring him back. You know, it's like the mate who gets back with his ex, but has spent the last year slagging them off, telling them how crap they were in the bedroom, what a horrible personality they had. When they woke up in the morning, they had dragon breath and all this. You know, they spent a year slagging them off to everyone. And then they're like, oh, actually, I love them. And of course, United haven't gone that far in on Rashford. But stories like that did come out. Andy Mitten did do a story saying every previous manager had issues with Rashford. Well, where did that come from? Did he interview every manager? I doubt it. I very much doubt he went round speaking to every individual manager. I would imagine that came from a club source saying, well, you know, every manager had a problem with him. So United have actively, in my opinion, promoted briefing against Rashford. And now they're going to pretend they didn't. And well, we've all got memories, haven't we? Bomb squad, all that sort of stuff. So look, just to talk about Rashford very, very quickly, there was something from Chris Wheeler yesterday saying that there's offers from Turkey, there's a couple of Premier League clubs, there is interest in him. The thing about Rashford is he's part of the England team. It's a home Euros in 2 years. He's going to want to play at the best club possible to help him still get in the England squad. From a business point of view, if he can start for Man United, that might be the best place to be. But there's a huge risk to that. If it goes wrong, you know, there's huge issues there. But what's the best option on the table beyond staying at Manchester United? I don't know that there is one. Going to Turkey will not get him in the England squad. Going to Saudi will not get him in the England squad. You know, there has to be a viable option that, you know, is good for him. And I don't think there is. So I think that this is just going to very bit much be about both parties trying to get the best out of a situation that's not ideal. Let's not forget, Chelsea get more for Garnacho than they paid, even after a complete flop of a season. United is not invited to the party, says Marlow. Yeah, I mean, that's incredible to me. Garnacho literally flopped at Chelsea and they're going to get more money than they bought him for. And this is what I mean about best in class. You might not be the best team on the pitch, but if you've got a board that knows what they're doing, it makes a hell of a difference. If you're making 50 to 100 million pounds every summer in sales, it massively helps your purchases. We've made nothing. Chelsea will cover off that Morgan Rogers deal with sales. And what are Chelsea selling? They've had a shit season. But Chelsea are probably going to pick up 50 for Garnacho, 60 for Nicholas Jackson. They've just got, what, 30, 40 for Chalobah. Chelsea are no better than Man United. On paper, they're no better, but they sell well. And we don't sell well. We just can't sell. And ultimately, somebody might say, well, we're not as good as Chelsea because we don't have saleable assets. Who's our Garnacho? Who's our Chalobah? Who's our Nicholas Jackson? Well, Xerxes should be someone we get some money for. I mean, I understand you can't sell Luke Shaw and you can't sell Harry Maguire because they're too old, but 50 for Santos as well. Forget about, yeah, 50 for Santos. So, yeah, Chelsea can sell well. Man City can sell well. Everyone seems to be able to sell well apart from us. We'll talk about that. Alex Scott. Well, the only thing I was going to say about Alex Scott is that if we want Alex Scott, you've got to behave like Arsenal. You've got to behave like Spurs. You've got to behave like Man City. You've got to go, this is the player that we want and we're going to pay a big price. And I think for United at the moment, it's problematic that we probably have got players that would like to sign for us. I think Mateus Fernandez wanted to sign for us. I think that Tonali would have signed for us. I think that Alex Scott would sign for us. I think Lewis Hall would sign for us. I think Tchouaméni would have signed for us. But would we pay the price for any of those players? And I don't have the answer to that, because the answer is probably no. I don't think it matters whether a player wants to come to Manchester United. I think it's about whether we're willing to pay the price. And that price is a big price. There's no point polishing a turd. There's no point pretending. If you want to sign good players, you've got to pay big prices. And if we're not willing to pay big prices, we can't get these players. It's almost like a new world, isn't it? I said this to you a few days ago. When Ornstein said that we were in talks with Belaba a year ago, I was absolutely convinced we were going to sign him because that was the rules then. If David Ornstein or Fabrizio Romano say Man United are in talks with a player, you're basically going to sign them. It's as good as a here we go. It might take a few weeks, but Man United in talks with a player, David Ornstein, it's going to happen. But that doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't matter if we're in talks with a player anymore. David Ornstein can say Man United's priority is Elliot Anderson. Fabrizio Romano can say Man United are in advanced talks with Mateus Fernandes. They can all say we really want Lewis Hall, but it's not enough anymore. It's changed. The Ineos regime has changed the goalposts. It's really difficult to predict whether a deal gets done with United. I mean, Manu Kone, Man United are in talks. Is the deal done? No. So it's a strange new world trying to track United now, because we can be in talks with a player and then walk away because we don't like the price. So it's very difficult to predict. And the sad thing is that player might want to come to United and our board might really want that player. But if the people at the top say we're not paying, he doesn't come, we don't get what we want. And, you know, it's very, very, very difficult to map United's future with that uncertainty that we're not going to go. If you're Arsenal and the club want Bruno Guimarães, you get Bruno Guimarães. If you're Man City and you want Elliot Anderson, you get Elliot Anderson. If you're Tottenham and you want Mateus Fernandes and Tonali, you get Mateus Fernandes and Tonali. But for United, we can know who we want and probably be quite confident that we won't get them, which is hard. It's hard. I have huge sympathy with United fans because I feel it as well. You know, it's hard to map out positivity and optimism when you've got absolutely no idea what the plan is. You know, you could literally spend 3-4 weeks chasing Mateus Fernandes, being told he's the perfect player for Man United, and then watch him signing to Spurs because we won't pay. And how do you square that off in your head? We really want this player. He's perfect for us, but he's gone to Tottenham. Is he not perfect for us now, or is it just we didn't pay? We didn't pay. The data said Mateus Fernandes. I'm sure Carrick and Wilcox said Mateus Fernandes. But the owners said we're not paying. So suddenly the player that you want is in another shirt because your owners won't pay. So then you've got to move down the list. It's hard. It is hard. I have to, which is why 82% of you are saying they're sacking Carrick, not backing Carrick, because it's hard to back a player, a manager, when you're not getting them what they want. Let me get into some of your comments. First and foremost as well, I should have said this before. So you know the big story a few weeks ago about season ticket holders having their season tickets taken off them as Manchester United's draconian approach to trying to stop ticket touting. They've actually come out now and said that they made big mistakes around how they've gone about it. And whilst they have uncovered some ticket touting, they have also had collateral damage in there against fans who didn't deserve it. And basically an apology from the club. Whether they can build those bridges, at least they're acknowledging it, I suppose. But they basically admitted that they've messed up and upset a lot of fans that they didn't mean to. Dan says, what happens if we don't win the first two games? Promoted teams will treat us as a cup final and we will be complacent. Do we panic buy or just suck it up, says Dan? Look, one bit of good news is I think we're going to have a very good start to the season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. If Man City were playing Hull and, well, if Tottenham were playing Hull and Coventry first two games, you'd expect them to get 6 points. We will get 6 points in those two games. And that's not me jinxing or anything like that. When I look at the quality of people like Cunha, Bruno, maybe even Marcus Rashford, we should win both those games. That's not where I'm worried. I mean, if we drop points against Hull or Coventry, I'd really start to panic. I don't think that's where things are going to go wrong for Manchester United. I think it's going to be, look, if you get me to do a 100-metre sprint against Man United's first team, I wouldn't be worried about the first 10 metres. I'm not saying I'd be ahead, but I wouldn't be worried about that. It would be the final 90 as they get further, further and further ahead and I embarrass myself more and more. So that's what I mean about a marathon, not a sprint. The first 5-6 games for United might go quite well. It's the final 20 games where I worry, with the Champions League and the squad that we've got. To steal a phrase from Swedish Rumble, actually, he was talking about injuries next season. And he was saying, look, even if Man United are lucky with injuries, you'd still expect to get 5 or 6 major injuries throughout the season. And by major injuries, we're talking about out for a couple of weeks with a calf strain, etc. So we will have injuries anyway. Even if we get lucky with injuries, you'll still get 5 or 6. If we get unlucky, you could have 10 to 20. So we will definitely get injuries this season. And I think the longer the season goes on, the more problematic it will be. We won't sign anyone in January either. So when you look at January and the opportunity to take on refreshments and have a stretch and get a massage, we won't even do that. And I think when you look at the positive of last season, when Carrick came in one game a week, we were very focused on one game a week and it worked out quite well. We won't have that this year. We will be the team that's playing twice a week until March, regardless, because that's what happens if you're in the Champions League, because you've still got 2 Champions League games in January. Then minimum you're going to be in the playoff, which is another 2. Then if you get that, it's another 2. So, and then you've got cup competitions. So we will be fatigued from January till April, whereas Chelsea and Spurs and Newcastle will be us. So I think the start of the season I'm not worried about. It's what happens in the second half of the season if we don't do something in the next few weeks. If Mount is good now, why can't we sell him to Stretford Signal? Well, it's probably a good assessment of Mason Mount. If he's so good and he's such a good midfield option, why is no one wanting to buy him? Because no one's wanting to buy him. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, It's Chugger. Not buying Kone for 50 million makes no sense, says Keel. Look, we still can sign Kone, and I still think that would be a, you know, I would say to Manchester United, if you sign Kone, then you would actually please me and a lot of United fans. It would go a long way to calming the fan base down and signing Kone. But, and I still think he's the most likely signing, but not any more than a 50-50. So yeah, who gets benched for Rashford, says Shig. Well, I think this is a conversation we're probably going to have at some point. I would say that Rashford will play on the left because that's his position. So it will be Sesko or Cunha, I think. Ahmad and Mbeumo are going to have their own battle. Bruno will always be number 10. Rashford will be the left winger. So Cunha will either play up front or Sesko will play up front. Dorgu will be on the bench. So I think it'll be Cunha or Sesko. Yeah. How bad does it have to go for it to go wrong, says Robert McCormack. Look, we might have a really shit summer transfer window and still finish 5th. You can look at the fan base, Robert, as well as I do, and know that if we finish 5th, there'll still be people saying it's a good season, and there'll be some people saying it's a crap season. So 5th place is still achievable. 4th place is still achievable. Maybe even 3rd place is still achievable if everybody else is crap. How bad does it have to get for it to go wrong? I think dropping out of Champions League spots will be problematic. I think the difference between 5th and 6th could be goal difference, but it's an absolute huge drop in relation to if you finish 5th or 6th. I think if you finish 5th, you probably get away with it. If you finish 6th, I think people go mad, you know? Slazy says, knowing our greedy owners, I'm surprised we haven't bought a shirt seller player like they used to. Who will sell shirts? Enter Rashford, says Slazy. Yeah. We are terrible at selling. My personal view on Vitek is that there will be a low buyback clause in there. Otherwise, I think he would have gone for 15 million outright. Wishful thinking, says Ravin. There will be a buyback clause, and I think there's a sell-on clause with Vitek as well, but we'll never buy him back because Lemons will be the goalkeeper. So the buyback clause, I always look at buyback clauses and go, well, what's the chances of us bringing them back? Why would we bring Vitek back? We'll never bring him back because he's a first-choice goalkeeper and we've got Lemons, so we'll never bring him back. The point is, what have you sold him for and what's the most we can get with the bonuses? So if Vitek goes to Middlesbrough and does really, really well and we end up with 14 million, it's still cheap. when Coventry have just spent 22 million on a Brighton goalkeeper that they don't use. So even if Vitek does absolutely everything, it's still really cheap, in my opinion. I think it's a great deal for Middlesbrough. I think if you look at what he did at Bristol, I think it's a brilliant deal for Middlesbrough. Current vote, 15% to 85%, 10% have to be bots, says Pete Phillips. Yeah, if you think, yeah, it's a good point, actually. 80% of you say Carrick's being backed. Sorry, 80% of you say Carrick's being sacked and 20% of you say Carrick's being backed. We're talking about whether the owners are backing him or sacking him. I'd love to know the 20% of you, because that's still quite a lot. 20% still think Michael Carrick's been backed this summer. We have a bit of a theory that there are bots out there for the club. And you do these things. And I still look at the replies that I post out there and I see them. I just don't believe they're Man United fans. I don't. I just don't think a genuine Man United fan that cares about their club would sit there and say that this has been a good summer and the manager's been backed. Just it's not logical. Football fans at their core are not loyal to owners. Football fans at their core are loyal to the name and the club and the reason they support them. They're not loyal to the owners. An owner can do a good job, but the minute they do a bad job, fans will dislike them. There is no such thing as a football fan that is loyal to owners. So who this 20% are, I just think, bots. Let's not forget Chelsea get more for Garnacho than they paid. Done that from Marlowe, done that from Shawnock. I mean, that comment from Shawnock was incredible. Andy Mitten, interview last year. Every previous manager had an issue with Rashford. Supporting us since 2013 and never seeing a Premier League title breaks my heart. Glazer's stupidity caused this mess, but can't Ineos fix wages and give Carrick squad depth, or are they just incompetent? I don't want to get into an Ineos Glazer conversation, Shay, but I'll repeat what I've said before. Everything I've seen from Ineos, they're just puppets for the Glazers. They're just front. They're a front. They're a front for difficult decisions. Glazers trying to stay in a low tax bracket, says Keel. The fact that none of the top clubs Rashi feels he deserves or willing to pay just 25 million should bring back down his ego, and United must get him out, says Dial. Skelly to United after Bruno G to Arsenal. I see it, says Damien. I mean, Lewis Skelly to Man United is more likely than Lewis Hall to Man United. I would say that, Damien. But we would have to pay Arsenal minimum 60 for him. And he's still a work in progress. He is a prospect. He's 19. I could understand the crap transfer window if we paid off the debt, but they have no ambition other than a new stadium and filling their pockets, says Irish Beckham. I would put up with a window like this if we'd cleared the debt, but we're not clearing the debt. Ineos miss more than they hit, if you look at it. Carrick will have to be overachieving to get third again, in my eyes, says Ray. Carrick massively overachieved last season, by the way. Shawnock says, season is starting in 17 days. It's high time we got those remaining signings. Didn't we get 100 million from Champions League qualification? Oh, I wanted to come back to this. I never finished my piece on this. So I said this yesterday, and I'm going to say it again because you've had 24 hours. If you're a United fan that believes the owners are doing a good job and you find an excuse for everything, I still am waiting for your response to this. A year ago, we'd spent £200 million on Amorim and we were willing to pay 60 for Belaba. Brighton wanted 100, we didn't pay the 60. 4 months later, we were willing to pay 60 for Semenyu, we didn't get him, he went to Man City. So twice we tried to spend that £60 million and we didn't do it. This summer, we've spent £50 million net on Santos and Tillemans, which means we've still got 10 million of that 60 left. Plus, where's the summer budget? Is anyone going to answer this question? Because I think it's a very, very good one. We had 60 for Semenyu and we had 60 for Belaba that we didn't spend. And that was nothing to do with this summer. That was January in the previous summer. We've spent 50 net. And that net spend's coming down even more now because Vitek's gone for 6. So that's 44 net. Which means there's 15 still from that 60 that we didn't spend. Plus the summer budget. Where is this money? How are people justifying this? Where is it? Where is this money? It's not a theory, is it? where is this money? If we were going to spend 60 million on Semenyo in January, which is a completely different financial year, where's this year's allocation? Because we haven't even spent that yet. Ginger Kiwi says, is there anything more on the secret third midfielder, or is it as I fear that we cornered ourselves by missing big targets and settled? I think the third midfielder was Scott. I think we had talks with Kone and we like Scott, but Bournemouth won't play ball and that's where we are. Signings with no Champions League football, says Marlo. Di Maria, Zlatan, Pogba, Bruno, Casemiro, Martinez, Cunha, Yoro, De Ligt. Signings with Champions League football, Amrabat, Rasmus, Mount, Lee Grant, Onana, Reguilon, Dalot, Fred, Santos, Dan, James. Yeah, absolutely horrific. Yeah, and there is a real contrast that when we're in Europe, we buy shit, and when we're not in Europe, we buy well. Who's our panic buy loan this year? Could be Wout Weghorst or Regalo, says Pete. And Gorilla says, the problem with everyone supporting the way Glinios are doing business is these will be the same people who want obscure signings but will not give those players time when they sign. It's probably a fair point, Gorilla, because you know when the season kicks off, I don't see this calmness. You know, the people who are backing the club in the summer become very agitated as soon as we start losing games. Do some fans fear banter if players flop, if we buy them on big prices? Are they afraid we will struggle financially? We already have mountains of debt. Anything saved is not reinvested. So why champion this strategy? I don't know, Patrick. I don't know why we have fans that don't want us to sign big signings anymore. I don't know why we have fans that condone buying cheap players because we've made mistakes in the past. My mentality, respect it or not, is if you sign Ronaldinho and he flops, doesn't mean you don't try and sign Beckham or Ronaldo or Messi. But that seems to be the thing. You know, we signed Pogba, we signed Sanchez, we signed Di Maria. It didn't work. So let's not sign Tchouaméni, let's not sign Tonali. And I'm like, nah, no. I'm going to keep doing it. It's like going to a restaurant, isn't it? And saying, I won't have your steak. I won't have your lobster because I had lobster before at a different restaurant and I didn't like it. I'll just have a salad and a glass of water. Fuck that. I'm going to go for what looks nice, you know? United are going to miss Casemiro's goals. That's a thing no one is talking about, not just his defensive contributions, even though he started to fade, says Aldo. This is why I think Harry Maguire will start every game, because Casemiro and Maguire from corners was such a big part of Carrick's ability to win games. We don't have Casemiro anymore, so he will have to pick Harry Maguire every game. Stadium is going to make mid-table forever, isn't it? Says Stretford Signal. I can see us hitting the loan market, says Christopher. I mean, I don't mind a loan if it's a good loan, but I can't think of what a good loan would be. Somebody mentioned somebody the other day. Maybe Camavinga loan to buy. I mean, I don't mind that, but you're not really getting commitment from the player. What if he has a good season and Real Madrid want him back? That's my problem with loan deals. Our squad depth is awful, says Glenn. Three or so injuries in key areas, cripples us in a season playing four competitions. Signing nobody else is a huge mistake as well. Yeah, and as well, I want to make it very, very clear. Big fan of Lacey, really excited about people like Thwaites, maybe the Fletchers, maybe even JJ. But if we're seriously using them as squad depth, we're failures. You cannot use kids as squad depth. Imagine Mainoo and Santos get injured and we start using a Fletcher or Thwaites. It's really unfair to throw a young player into that level of pressure and expect them to swim. And then if they sink, you ruin a career. So we shouldn't be using younger players as squad depth. I've seen people doing it and I'm like, you really don't understand developing young players at all. You can't use young players as squad depth. They're bonus. You give them minutes without pressure. You don't put them in as like, oh, if something happens to them, we can just pick them. I mean, some of these people haven't played 13 minutes at all. Ipswich now has double our net spend. Game's gone, says Milaz. And both Santos and Tillemans were opportunities that arose during the window and we weren't interested before. Have we even planned for this window, says Beyond PI123. And Shay, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much for that. Thank you, everyone who's tuning in this morning, by the way. Apologies for the delay this morning. I don't think I'll be trying outside again. Will Rashford take his number 10 shirt back? No. No, he won't get that, Josh. There'd be uproar. He won't get that back. Also, the top Turkish clubs not moving for Salah could mean they go for Rashford, says Josh. He's gone to Trabzonspor, hasn't he, Salah? You know the third signing isn't here until third kit release, says Jamal. And Bienda is a loan deal, I believe. Whitwell posted it. Yeah, I think it's a loan with a fee at the end, which is less than what we paid for him, Gazza. I think you're right. Hope all is well. Sorry, but Rashford didn't do very well at Barcelona. It was actually rather average. We just heard when he was going well. Well, I wouldn't argue with you that onward, but I don't watch La Liga, but I was under the impression he'd done quite well because Hansi Flick was always quite positive about him. You have a standard that belongs to this football club and it's being taken away from us. Feels like we're shouting at a brick wall sometimes. Keep it up, says So. Bruno G to Arsenal, 74 million is a bargain, says Paddy. Well, we were never going to play that. You know, one thing I would say is we were never going to pay £74 million for Bruno Guimaraes. We were just never going to do it. And, you know, we just won't pay the prices it takes to do the deals this summer, will we? So that's what it is. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. Really appreciate it. Good show. Few different things to talk about, which is always good. Obviously we are, I think we're outside Old Trafford today. I said it was yesterday, but I think we're outside Old Trafford today. Do you think Xerxes will go? I think he has to go. He's had 2 years at the club where he's not done very well. And I think he has to go. Yeah. I don't see the point in him staying unless United don't want to bring in another striker. Thanks everyone for watching. Take care. Stay safe. And I will speak to you later. 8 o'clock show tonight as normal. 2 o'clock show in the afternoon. And obviously, if some miracle happens and United actually do some business, we'll go live. Take care.